Okay, so get ready, because today we're going deep on something pretty unexpected. We're diving into the power of blood.
Blood.
You heard that right, blood. Specifically, how it's portrayed and used in the Bible.
That's not the first thing that comes to mind when I think about all spirituality.
I know, right? But stick with us. It gets pretty interesting.
Right.
Our guide for this deep dive is Andrew Murray's book, The Power of the Blood of Jesus.
Okay, I'm intrigued.
So to kick things off, why don't you tell us a little bit about what we're getting into here?
Well, the thing about blood is it's kind of woven throughout the entire Bible, from Genesis all the way to Revelation,
Really?
the whole thing.
Yeah.
And Murray argues that it's actually key to understanding like our relationship with God.
So it's more than just like a literal physical thing.
Yes, exactly. It's a symbol, but it's a symbol with a ton of theological meaning packed into it. And what's crazy is that it shows up right from the beginning, like right in the very first book.
You're talking about Genesis?
Yep. Genesis, think about the story of Abel and Cain, right?
Vaguely. Remind me.
So they both bring offerings to God, but Abel's sacrifice, which involves blood, is the one God favors. Right off the bat, we see blood connected to being right with God.
You're right. It's like not just some random detail.
No, not at all. And then this keeps popping up throughout the Old Testament. You see God making covenants, these serious agreements with his people. And guess what? They almost always involve some kind of blood ritual.
Okay, yeah, like animal sacrifices and stuff.
Exactly. It's like this really intense way of marking a commitment.
Can you give us some more examples? I mean, we're talking about the whole Old Testament here.
Oh, there are tons. Like, think about the covenant with Abraham. God almost had him sacrifice his son Isaac. I mean, talk about emphasizing how important this blood stuff is.
Wow,
Or the Exodus. The Israelites are only able to escape slavery in Egypt because of the blood of the Passover lamb. It literally marks their houses and protects their firstborn sons.
That's a pretty powerful image, right? It's like the blood is some kind of barrier or protection.
Yeah, and it reinforces this idea that blood is like a sacred boundary, you know? It separates things, but it also connects them. It's weird. Like, take the Mosaic covenant at Mount Sinai, right?
Yeah, the Ten Commandments and all that.
That one. That covenant between God and Israel is like sealed with sprinkled blood. It shows how serious it is, but also that it's binding them
So,
together.
like, blood can be both about separation and connection.
Exactly. And that whole idea gets even more important when you start looking at the temple in Jerusalem.
Right, because that was all about, like, accessing God's presence.
Exactly. And the whole design of the temple, all those rituals they did, blood was at the center of it all. I mean, think about it. The altar of burnt offerings, the incense altar, even the high priest going into the Holy of Holies once a year, all about blood.
It's strange to think about how important all that stuff was back then.
I know, right? But it shows just how deep this human need is, like to approach God with reverence, with sacrifice.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
And this all leads us to, well, Jesus, because he brings this whole new covenant,
He
right?
does.
But he also uses this imagery of blood, too, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And that's where things start to get really, really interesting. John the Baptist, when he announces Jesus is coming, he says straight up that Jesus's blood is going to kick off a whole new era. It directly links back to all that Old Testament stuff, but with a totally different spin.
So how did Jesus change how we think about blood?
Well, in the Old Testament, you know, all those blood sacrifices, they were all about trying to make up for sin.
Yeah, like to calm God down or something.
Exactly. But Jesus kind of flips the whole thing around. See, his sacrifice, it wasn't about appeasing some angry God. It was about God showing us just how much he loves us, how merciful he is.
So it's not like we have to earn God's favor by like making all these offerings and stuff.
Nope. Jesus's sacrifice is like a free gift, straight up, offered out of love, not because he had to. It's God closing that gap, the one that sin created.
That makes a lot more sense. But okay, if Jesus's sacrifice is all about love and forgiveness, why is there still so much talk about blood? It seems kind of, I don't know, out of place.
It's because blood, even in this new way of seeing things, it still has a really powerful meaning. It represents what it costs to forgive us, how deep God's love really is. It's a pretty strong reminder that this reconciliation thing didn't come easy.
You're right. It's easy to like take forgiveness for granted, but when you think about the blood involved, it definitely adds a whole other level of meaning.
Totally. And this brings us to one of the most, intriguing and probably misunderstood parts of what Jesus taught, That whole thing about drinking his blood.
Oh, yeah, that one. I was never quite sure what to make of that.
It's a powerful metaphor, right? And you got to remember, Jesus was speaking to people who used symbols all the time. So when he talks about drinking his blood, mm-hmm. he's not talking about literally doing that. What he means is taking in his sacrifice, letting it change us from the inside out.
So it's like more than just believing in Jesus, it's like experiencing it on a deeper level.
Exactly. It's letting that love, that forgiveness soak into everything we do. It's becoming part of his life, sharing in his victory over sin and death and all that.
Okay. I think I'm starting to get the bigger picture here. But how does this connect to, like, the rest of the New Testament? Because it seems like the apostles keep bringing up Jesus's blood even after he's gone.
They do. And that's because the power of that sacrifice, it doesn't just stop with Jesus's death and resurrection. It keeps impacting those who believe.
So it's not just some historical event. It still matters now.
Big time. It's like the foundation of our whole faith, where our hope comes from. And you see that echo throughout the New Testament, especially in the book of Hebrews.
That's the one that talks about the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, right?
Yeah, right. And even though the guy writing Hebrews is explaining this new way of being in relationship with God, he keeps coming back to Jesus's blood. It's like he's saying, look, the rituals might be different now, but the main point is the same. Forgiveness and reconciliation, they only happen because of sacrifice.
It's like a bridge between the old way and the new way.
Yeah, a bridge built on, well, on Christ's sacrifice. And this takes us all the way to Revelation, the last book in the Bible.
That one's full of some wild imagery, right? But you're saying blood is still important there.
It is, and it's presented in a really interesting way. In Revelation, you see the Lamb on the throne. It's a pretty powerful image. It combines sacrifice and victory all in one.
Because the Lamb represents Jesus.
Yeah, Jesus as both the sacrificial Lamb and the King who wins in the end. And then you see descriptions of those who are saved in heaven, and they've washed their robes white in the blood of the Lamb. Talk about a powerful image of being cleansed, made pure.
So even in the very last book of the Bible, the power of Jesus' blood is still a big deal. It's mm-hmm. almost like coming full circle. We started with sacrifices back in Genesis, and here in Revelation, it's the Lamb sacrifice that brings eternal life.
You got it. It highlights this consistent theme throughout the whole story. Blood. It represents sacrifice, atonement, being made clean, but ultimately, it's life winning over death.
It's amazing how something like blood can have so much meaning, you know?
It shows how powerful symbols can be, but the real question is, what does all this mean for us? Like, right now in the 21st century, how does this ancient stuff connect to our lives today?
That's a great question. It's easy to get caught up in all the historical and theological stuff, but does it actually make a difference in how we live? It's amazing, right? We've gone on this crazy journey through the Bible, following this blood thing from beginning to end. And you know what? It's hitting me that it's not just some abstract idea, it's personal.
Yeah, it really is. And that's where the rubber meets the road, right? It's one thing to understand all the symbolism, but it's another to actually, like, live it out.
Totally. So how do we take this whole blood thing, I mean, all this ancient stuff, and actually apply it to our lives? What does it even mean to, like, drink the blood of Christ today?
Well, for starters, I think it's important to remember that it's not, like, a literal thing. You know, it's about an internal change, about letting that sacrifice of Christ actually cleanse us, make us new, and give us the power to live differently.
So it's more about, like, surrendering to that power, letting it work in us.
Exactly. And I think that involves a few things. First, I think it's about really embracing forgiveness, forgiving ourselves and forgiving other people too, because when we get just how huge Christ's sacrifice was, well, it changes how we see our own screw-ups and the screw-ups of everyone around us.
It makes you think, right?
Yeah.
If God can forgive us that completely, how can we hang on to, like, bitterness and anger and all that?
Yeah, right. And then I think it's also about living with, like, this deep sense of gratitude. We've been bought with a price, you know? That should change everything, our priorities, how we use our time and talents and everything we have.
It's like we've been given this second chance, a whole new life, and we should be living each day with, you know, a purpose.
Absolutely. And lastly, I think it's about really trying to be more like Christ. Because when we share in his blood, we're also invited to, well, share in who he was, his compassion, his love, all of that.
So it's not enough to just receive forgiveness. We have to become more forgiving. It's not enough to just be thankful. We have to show it by how we live.
You got it. It's about letting that sacrifice completely transform us from the inside out. changing our thoughts, our actions, our relationships, everything.
This has been, I don't know, eye-opening is the word that comes to mind. I never really thought about this blood thing in this way before. It's definitely not just some, you know, gruesome Bible story. It's about God's love. It's a source of power, and it reminds us that we've been redeemed.
And the cool thing is, it's a journey, not a destination. We're always going to be learning and growing in what it means to, like, really live in the blood of Christ.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
And to you, the listener, we'll leave you with this. Mm-hmm. If blood is such a powerful symbol, what would it look like to truly live in the blood of Christ? Not just as a theological idea, but like practically every day. How would that change the choices you make, your relationships, you as a person? That's what we want you to think about. Go explore, go discover, and see what you find.